Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, we feel so blessed to realize that it's you who've called us together this evening, and you who have been holding us together in your love while we grow. You feed us with your word, Lord. Help us come open-minded, open-hearted, willing and ready to receive what you would give. Help us feed on your word, and may it come to life in us to enable us to be the people you intended us to be, to live the lives you've intended us to live, that we might glorify your name in the earth and be witnesses to your presence in our lives, that we might be blessings to the friends around us who see your light shining through us, and so that we might experience directly and without mediation the presence of the kingdom of heaven in our body minds on this earth. Move tonight in each of us in a clear, obvious, and unmistakable way to make it absolutely evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who always hears and answers our every prayer. In Father, transcendent, Son, omnipresent, and immanent Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Of deep rest, we'll now rest with God in His Word. So, keeping our minds open and relaxed, we'll listen with the ear of the heart to hear just a word or phrase that speaks to us tonight for our transformation in Christ. Our first reading on this 11th week in Ordinary Time is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all that you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is 112, and the response is, bless the man who fears the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. Bless the man who fears the Lord. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Bless the man who fears the Lord. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Bless the man who fears the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Only the axioms. Could you cut me for a second? Okay. One of the axioms that we live by and learn from is give what you would receive. Give what you would receive. There's a law called reciprocity. Put it out, get it back. It's almost like we're looking into a gigantic mirror. And everything we put out, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, or physically, in some way reflects back to us. In the East, they call it karma. Thomas Keating says, in Christianity, motivation is everything. Motivation is everything. So Paul is talking about giving abundantly, sharing abundantly. And the motive for doing that has to be sincere and deeply centered. Otherwise, we're just doing things from the surface, and the appearance of giving abundantly, or giving abundantly, a grievance, gets back the same. So the law of abundance talks about using that which God has given us, who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the hungry. That Father is running everything in this universe and giving everything that anybody receives anywhere, whether through us or through another or to us from another. Everything is a reciprocal maintenance of giving and receiving, constant exchanges in the living dance that is the Trinity. This whole universe is in motion. The room is in motion. All the molecules in that telephone poles, the chair, your body, my body, everything on the table is all in motion. It's constantly in motion, particle exchanging with particle. Now, for us to join in the dance, for us to be part of that dance in a God-ordained way, is to act like God acts, or to act like Christ acts, giving without measure, giving without fear of getting it back, giving from a cheerful spirit of participation, personal participation in the wonder of creation. Fearlessly, joyfully, giving abundantly of our goodwill, of our treasure, of our time, of our attention. Now, in order to do that, we first have to see, notice, and own the places where we don't do that. The place was where we're a little cherry, a little stingy, where we hang on to our love, where we won't reciprocate to someone else, where we hang on to our money and don't share it with the guy on the corner, with the Salvation Army, or the charities that to serve the people that we don't ever see. So when we, in our motive, feel poor, feel there's not enough for me, and close down and hang on, we don't realize it, but we're choking off our own air hose. We're choking off the abundant return of the good we give to God's people and God's world by not giving freely and cheerfully of ourselves and from ourselves. Now, the culture we live in is an acquisitive culture. And because of that, we're all conditioned to have a kind of feeling that there's not enough to go around. It's called the economics of scarcity. Not enough to go around, and I got to hang on to what I've got because there may not be any more in the future. This idea suggests that our good comes from the horizontal plane of time and space, where things have names and forms, where things can be measured and weighed and compared and quantified and balanced. That's not where God lives. That's all the head's work. God's from the heart. It's all qualities. And an abundance of goodness in our hearts that wants to pour out through us gets a return of the same. Now, we don't give because we want to get back, but we do understand that's how the world is wired. And that we put out sparingly, we get sparingly. And when we put out abundantly, we receive abundantly. It's just the rule book. Now, there's a law which I have learned to call the law of increase through use. That simply says the more you do a certain thing a certain way, the more it'll be that way. So if you hang out with bad folks, and you get a few, you get involved in deeper and deeper with the bad folks, the more energy you put in that direction, that's the environment you end up in. And if something happens, well, it's because of the environment we chose. The same thing is true on the other side. If we give abundantly of whatever, whether it's goodwill or treasure, it is amazing to us. It seems to defy logic and all the rules of economics, but it comes back to us. Now, what Jesus is cautioning against in this giving is giving from a superficial place, giving from a place where we really don't feel the participation we have in the life of the Trinity, the right now life of the Trinity. The Father gives us everything, just as He gave it to Christ the Son. And then we give everything away to those around us, and astonishingly enough, there's enough for all. But to give for the sake of being seen as a giver, either by myself or by others, is a trap, because it does not have any depth to it at all. It has no understanding. When we understand that life is a constant series of exchanges and flows, and that when we get into that flow and participate lawfully in the sharing of the abundance, it's astonishing to see how the abundance increases and increases through the law of increase through use. Now, just to give us a practical look at how that law works, you can see, let's say, satellites are showing recently rivers in the Sahara Desert, the places where rivers used to flow in the Sahara Desert. You can't see them from the ground level now because they're all silted up. When the water stopped flowing, the riverbeds stopped existing. Now, when you take a riverbed that's got more and more water pouring through it, the riverbed gets wider and wider and wider. The law of increase through use. A muscle that is used repetitively gets stronger and bigger. A muscle that isn't used becomes flaccid and loses its strength. So each of us has a way of participating in life that's habitual, that we've probably aped from the culture or from our parents, but there's a way in which the author of the system is inviting us to participate on his terms. Now, this is what might be thought of as counterintuitive, because if I look at a bunch of money in my hand and then give it away, well, I can't see it anymore. I haven't got it. But all of that is suggesting that my good, my abundance, is found in exterior things, in surfaces of things, where they can be seen by myself with my ordinary thoughts and feelings and sensations, and by others. So Jesus is saying, listen, when you give, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners and call a lot of attention to themselves so they can be seen as givers. That's not cheerful giving, that's posturing. That's being a poser. Because inside, Jesus said, they're like whitewashed sepulchres. They're full of dead men's bones, looking all good on the outside. But inside, where they live, they are not having the experience of abundance. What we're looking for as individuals is the feeling of abundance, the feeling of being awash in God's good, the feeling of being cared for directly and totally by the love of God, who can and does do anything and everything when we participate. Now, when we hold on to ourselves, when we hang on to our love, when we hang on to our blessings, when we hang on to our good cheer, when we hang on to our money, we lose, because now we've clamped down on our own air hose. And so the freedom that God gives his people is the freedom to live as a part of the Trinity, giving and receiving, breathing in and breathing out. Now, can you just imagine a human being surviving and thriving by breathing this way? I may not get any more air. There may not be enough to go around. Of course we let it go. And when we do, another tidal rhythm comes in. And that's the way it is with everything in this world. It's all lawful. It's all created by God that way. But he can't get us to participate without our free will. We give our attention either to scarcity or abundance, either to the overflowing goodness that we see all around us in growing things, in living things, or to the fear that conquers societies and conquers individuals when they have to clamp down and feel like they have to hold on to themselves. Living in fear is not life, it's dead. Living God's life is beyond comprehension to the culturally oriented mind. And so Jesus is saying, if you'd really like to get on with this, if you'd really like to have a relationship with the infinite abundance of creation, then go into your inner room, into your closet, and lock the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, I used to think it was an interesting thing to say, repay you. I didn't give him anything. Oh, yes, I did. I paid him my attention. That's the key to everything. What gets our attention gets us. What we give our attention to increasingly grows and grows in power and manifestation, again, through the law of increase through use. So what gets my attention, if it's the headlines about economic disaster in Europe and a collapse of financial systems, well, that's one thing I have the right to give my attention to. But I could also look outside at the abundance of green life growing everywhere, at the richness of life pouring down from the clouds in the form of water, at the spring flowers that come out, or the rose bush out there by Mary's statue, the trumpet vines or the cross vines that are growing in the cloister. All of these things are shouting God's message of abundance to us. At the same time, the culture is shouting the message of lack. Now, who are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? When we get a piece of technological apparatus to plug into our other technological apparatuses, we call grandchildren. But what you have to do, if you want to make it work right, is read the manual. The manual is not written by the leading economic indicators. The manual is not written by the economics of scarcity. The manual was written by God. This gift of Paul's, so abundantly, is God's word to his people, saying, come out of the prison of your fears. Come out into the light where God can bless you. The words of Jesus are exactly the lawful way in which we get into relationship with God. not in the surface of our minds, where we get to watch ourselves. Wow, look at me, I'm holy. I did a sit twice today. I did you a big favor, didn't I, God? We're not in the inner room when we do that. In the inner room, when we close the door, we're not even aware of what's going on outside, because something profound reveals itself deep in our innermost recesses, and it is so real, so true, so blessed, and so fine that now we know why the saints, why the mystics, the sages of the ages have all known and celebrated the fact that God within, Christ within, is our hope of glory. Glory is a big word. Culturally, you don't see much glory going on. Oh, maybe when the NFL championships come, or NBA championships, a player or two might feel glory. But that's not the kind of glory we're talking about. Deep in the recesses of our hearts is truth. There is peace. There is heavenly joy. It does not have to say, oh, look, I've got heavenly joy. I've got peace within. It just is peaceful. It just is joy. It's causeless. It's a repayment for the payment of our attention. But not in the parts of the mind that are talking about how good they are, but deep into the recesses of the heart, where life itself mysteriously bubbles to the surface of our awareness without our telling it to, without our coaching it, without our being able to control it. It's the attempt to control that kills us, that keeps us from the fullness of God's blessedness to our humanness. The idea that we're controlling something is foolish and juvenile, but it's a really hard one to give up. So when we look around at nature, when we look around at the way life itself is, and realize that we too are life itself, though with free will, with the capacity to look at anything we want, but when we look at the culture's way of doing things, Paul opens, he says, consider this. Consider this. Don't just listen to the words. Consider this. If you sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. And if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You're always receiving what we give. Consider this. Ponder this. Turn this over in your heart and your mind, and see if God's way doesn't come up being much more convincing and much more truthful and much more bountiful than the cultural stamp of spiritual and physical poverty, the economics of scarcity. Is false. There's an abundance of everything to go around if there is an abundance of receivers to give. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus the Christ be with us now and always. Amen.